Welcome to Heaving Bosoms, the podcast where best friends recap romance media while horrifying each other with snowman birth timelines and giggling over icicle genitalia. We're so excited to have you back. If you're a brand new listener, lured here by Netflix's sexiest snowman, we're delighted to have you. This week on the bonus feeds, we're recapping Immortals After Dark, Book 9, Pleasure of a Dark Prince. Y'all, we're finally getting Lucia and Gareth's book. As you know, I have been not so patiently waiting since Book 2 to get their reluctant love story. And boy, did I not expect so much of this book to take place in the Amazon. We've got secret goddess pacts, not-so-secret werewolf boners, and she even throws in one complete mental breakdown. We loved this book. That's this Friday on Patreon or our Apple Podcast subscription. Today, we've got a special guest. HB Nick is back to recap a Christmas movie with us, and we couldn't resist Netflix's new holiday offering, Hot Frosty. This movie was a surprise on a lot of levels. So, in addition to our regular, you know, silly, raucous antics, I need to do a content warning for discussions of possible child predation, racial dynamics, police brutality, and immigration. We try to keep it light because, you know, we all came here for a whimsical holiday treat. But that often just means saying true things through nervous laughter. So on that note, here we go. Okay, y'all, Valor's in swim class. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, God. Great job, Valor. Great job. She's finally like putting her face in the water. These are big strides we're taking over here in swim class. But last week, there was a lady instructor and a dude instructor. And the dude, there's a few dudes, and this dude was like bigger and burlier, right? And so for most of the class, she kept on like gravitating toward the female instructor, and she would like want to like have the lady tool her around because she also chitter chats the whole class. Like she narrates everything. She tells her about school. Like they really have a catch up, a one-sided catch up during swim class. But at one point in the class, Valor reaches for the lady instructor, and the lady's like, nope, you've had me a lot, and so we're going to trade this time. I'm going to go with this girl, and you're going to go with him. And so Valor pauses, looks over at him, and goes, all right, big boy. Gets into his
arms.
She's almost six.
I don't know almost 6 year old said that to me.
Are you kidding?
I'm delighted.
I cannot get over Valor's main character energy in every moment of life.
Man, Melody, Valor's going to go so far in life.
God, I hope so.
Like, you know when people are like, we need to carry ourselves with the confidence of a mediocre white man?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Valor
is going to become the new threshold.
Yeah.
Carrying yourself with the lives of Valor. Wow.
Okay. Hey, listener, Nick is here.
Oh, right.
Hey, Nick. HB oh, yeah. Nick.
I forgot that I was here.
And we're here to recap the Netflix film Hot Frosty.
I would like to comment really quickly, though. Yeah. I cannot believe that it's been a year since we last recorded together.
I know.
Like, when I realized it's been a year, this means that it's been a year. Yeah. I was like, yeah. What the fuck is...
Yeah, what are we doing? Okay. How has this happened?
Anyway, this was just a really, really big wake-up call, you know?
Yeah.
A year has departed.
Yes. Are you two ready to recap this shockingly political film about an Olaf who just wants to grow up to be a real boy so that he can fuck his mom in the spirit of Christmas?
I did not relate this man to Olaf once, and I'm upset that you called him an Olaf.
He is an Olaf.
I don't know
what you want from me.
Okay, this is amazing, and I support you and your choices, the beautiful choices of your brain. But that came out of nowhere for me because I just assumed we were all on the same page and that we realized that this is like a Christmas cinematic universe because I was like, wait, why did they make Pete?
Mean Girls?
No, why did they make Pete the main character from last year? Remember Pete who was possessed by the spirit of Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah. But this movie, they're like, what if we take that character who doesn't have like free will? And we make him the main character, and he is just a vehicle for the healing and love of a woman, you know, because let's buck some trends, because that's been the storyline for men for forever.
Sure.
He's a manic pixie dream snowman.
But he is a manic pixie
dream
snowman.
He's Pete from last year.
Wait, hang on, though. I'm really sad. I thought you were talking about the fact that this definitely takes place in the same cinematic universe as Mean Girls.
It does.
Canonically.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, it does. I got the very...
Okay.
Like, listen, Blatant. This is festive fan service, the movie. Like, there are so many things.
Yes,
exactly. I am a little disappointed that we don't have brown hairs the man and blonde hairs the woman, though.
I know.
That's true.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the really tragic thing about this movie, I feel, is that this Olaf tries so hard all movie to become
like
a real
that.
Boy.
And I know you're going to say it the entire fucking recording, and I just don't like it. Continue. I just need that aunt stated on the record.
I don't know what's happening. Keep going.
Fair enough. No, this poor infant snowman tries so hard all movie to become a real boy. And then what he ends up getting is a Lady Pinocchio, because I've never seen a more wooden performance in my life.
Listen.
Lacey Chabert.
Listen.
Oh, fuck.
What I was going to say is that the suggested films that came up for me were just like her face in different sweaters. And I was like, okay, that adds context. She had a busy filming schedule. She had three days for this.
It does sort of feel like that.
When the Mean Girls thing happened, I was like, am I going crazy? Am I hallucinating that this is Gretchen Wieners? And I did go look it up just to confirm.
And How could you mistake her for... I know you don't know actors. Never mind. I know. I'm an unsupportive jerk. I apologize. But I'm just like, that is like...
No, you're great.
Her voice is such a particular cartoon character that I'm like, how are you anyone else? It's like the Norman Bates thing. Where it's like, no,
that's
you were
there. She is a cartoon character.
She is a cartoon. No, as in Gretchen Wieners is like that weird, like weird voice that she has and like all of her mannerisms.
And that's, I think this movie would have been incredible if they had let her be quirky actress, you know, but like it's just so sincere.
That would have been great. But I did cut off Sabrina.
To be clear, the only reason I was aware that I knew her from another movie is because Mean Girls was referenced.
That tracks, actually. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, this isn't, I didn't understand that this actress was from another movie. This may as well be the first movie that she's ever been in.
That
all of them, frankly.
I assume you were going to talk about her IMDb, by the way. I don't want. I know how
that's exactly what I was getting at.
Yes.
I did go to IMDb, and my God, I had to scroll first. This woman is prolific. I don't understand how she sleeps.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
In the film, yeah. Just like on camera
while filming. And I feel like there were a few moments in this where I was like, wow, Lacey Chabert, you nailed that moment. But otherwise, no. Sorry, everybody.
I think she's, I don't know. It's probably the Gretchen Wieners thing, but I, even though I just gave like a solid burn, if I do say so myself.
You did.
I just feel like she has a likability to her, and they were like, we're just going to pay a little extra for Gretchen Wieners because we didn't really write a character. I have a theory about this movie, which I will get to momentarily. Yes.
But yeah, tell.
I feel like they didn't really write a character. So like, just be likable, dead husband. Like your character is like more of like a vibe. She was yes, like, okay, yeah. I can do that. Yeah, okay. And then every once in a while, she'd get a little too charming and they'd go cut. That's not okay. We'll let you go on one, but this is a three strikes you're out situation. And she only made it to two. So that was, she was just trying to keep her job. And I respect that.
I hear you. Yeah.
Honestly, in this economy, good for you, girl. Get yours. Yeah.
So the film opens up and we get the one and only voiceover. It never comes back again.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I was like,
one and only voiceover.
Close. It doesn't come back at all.
It's not bookended. It's not anything.
I'm going to let you finish the opening.
Man.
And then I'm going to introduce my theory.
Okay. This is just a man and he says, since the dawn of time, Christmas fairy tales have often included the wonder of a snowman coming to life, destined to bring its magic to the right person. And then the hat gets run over, and then it says...
You didn't introduce the hat initially, I don't think.
I didn't? Oh, shit. There's a flying top hat, okay? It's a magical flying top hat, and it's going into the town square, the roughly 3-foot by 3-foot town square. And... it says, so the hat gets run over, and then it says, but those fairy tales have never been told like this. And like, Christmas is dawn of time, ? And then B, how many snowmen come to life so they can fuck the heroine movies have we gotten? It's so many.
Is it?
Snowmen?
I feel snowmen? Like, yes.
No.
No?
I have not encountered other snowmen being given.
I would say I'm gonna believe that Nick. I just consider Nick like Christmas movie
aficionado.
So now we have a geneticist, we have official HB memists, and then we have an official HB Christmas movie
expert.
Aficionado. Am I your expert? Yeah, Christmas movie consultant.
Yes, like
Patch me in. When you're doing other Christmas films and be like, Nick, we need a quick fact check on, I don't know, the how many snowmen have come to life and fucked people?
I feel like there have to be more.
Honestly, though, that was a check that didn't get cashed. It wasn't officially written, but I was ready for icicle dick.
I had a note but that says, what about his dick, though? When he's like, oh, no, I'm melting. And I was like, that does not bode well if you can't be near... like a warm room.
You can't get up in there.
All I'm saying is I would have dealt with the snow for a 5-minute fuck on a cold ice.
They did an untouchable.
Just for the experience.
Okay, yeah. I thought you meant like you're just very into this guy, which I was like, that's unexpected. He's lovely, but...
No, he's fine.
But yeah. Wait, I do want to not lose
Tell
track
us your theory about
my
this
theory.
Film.
I think this is a movie that was made... over a long duration spiritually, where each plot of other Christmas films gained sentience and they had a corporeal form of sorts up in the heavens of Christmas movies.
Okay.
And this is the break room of Christmas movies. Oh. A movie will wander in to grab a coffee and will accidentally spill its movie plot notes into the film. And then they have to get back to their main movie.
They only have a 5-minute break. They're just taking a five.
Like, they're just such hard workers. So they, because they do have to make 37 of them in a day of the same plot. But this one's like, what if we take tiny elements? But like, there's one like lazy person who's just sitting there and like, that's this film where it's just like, I don't know, sentient magical creature comes to life and bones someone who has a dead spouse. Also, trigger warning, dead spouse. Sorry, I meant to do that earlier. I mean, you do know it's a Christmas movie, and there is the obligatory, some like a major figure in your life must be dead. Must be dead. Especially if we're not going to write a character for you. That is your personality.
Yeah. And like, so, and I agree with you because so many things are like seeded and then completely dropped. In the beginning of this movie, it's all about how she hasn't cooked since her husband who made the diner with her died. And like, she hasn't cooked for herself and she hasn't created a recipe. I thought part of this movie was going to be woman rekindles her passion for the culinary arts. But that's not a thing that happens.
I just assumed that she considers cooking for one a Sisyphean task like I do.
Actually, truly.
Pick up the fact. Okay, so my ability to sit and watch a movie right now is really, it's not in great shape. So I watched the movie once. I took 4 pages of notes. Mm-hmm. And I typically want to, like, if we're going to review something, I want to have gone through it 3 times. So I listened to it 2 more times. Oh, okay. My memory is basically you like farts both. In the wind. Like if sure. it's blowing too hard, it's all gone.
You know, I almost said you're in good company, but then I realized that Melody claims to have a fart in the wind Swiss cheese brain, but in fact does not. And is just a liar trying to sit with the cool kids.
I just have no control over what becomes Swiss cheese and what sticks for the most part.
Well,
is the problem.
Boy, the plot of something that you claim to not remember from weeks ago that you spout off word for word.
I do an okay job. Okay, listen. So we wake up in her like her dilapidated house, okay? But it's like really selectively oddly dilapidated. So she wakes up. She has to put on 18 blankets because her heat is broken. And she's like getting dressed underneath blankets. She tries to go down the stairs and one of the stair steps has just been like stepped on by a rhinoceros.
What
happened to that singular stair? How did that happen?
From the top of the steps, a banister, they just dropped a kettlebell.
Really?
Too big. It's so really circular. Big, though. Like, I feel like they dropped, like, a harpoon that just went all the way down to the basement. Because the rest of the stairs are fine.
They're pristine, okay? There's not a scuff on them. But that one stair is eviscerated. It's gone. Mm-hmm. Also, they're trying to convince us that she's, like, depressed and, you know, a wreck and not taking care of her life. But I don't know if this is just a me thing. Bitch has makeup on and she chooses to put on tights and a low heel. Ma'am. Oh, what kind of depressive person are you?
Wow. I was thinking, wow, you went much farther than I would have because as a depressed person and an ADHD person, if you think for a second I'm keeping up with that drip bowl.
Oh my God.
In a way that is not going to ruin the floor beneath it. Like I'm in an effort to keep my house from completely falling apart, I would put those there and then promptly fade them into the background until they are overflowing for at least a month.
I don't think this is an ADHD representation character. I mean, she barely represents anything.
No,
but
she's not. But I'm like, we'll just go with the depression then. If there's any chance that I move that bucket, the answer is no.
That's fair. I do think that, like, I have watched someone do a very laborious, like, must keep up with it, stopgap measure when depressed.
Ooh,
to prevent them from doing the thing that feels harder, which is calling someone who can fix it.
Calling somebody.
Because my initial thing was, well, like my notes, I actually just got confused in my own notes, but it was like, does she not have heat? Wait, oh no, is she poor? Wait, why is there a hole in the floor? Okay, repairman, slightly better. Basically, I'm like, so is it a funds issue? Like this is I was like about to text you all and be like, listen.
Apparently this woman is rich
as fuck. But then she's just like super wealthy.
She's
making diners pay that well?
Apparently.
Well, I guess her husband had a great life insurance policy or
something. Well, not to mention that, like, especially since we only see her giving away food at this diner, there is not an American dollar exchanged one time when she is in the mix.
No.
Okay.
There's not.
Okay, also, she has a thriving business, all right?
Yes.
And later on, in just a moment, listener, she will promise to make chocolate chip pancakes for some random crotch creature that comes in. This is not depressed representation. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
No.
There is a note, though, like, because this town, you mentioned how tiny the town square is, approximately 3 feet by 3 feet. It's also like, I don't understand how her business is. Apparently, this is just a town of wealthy people. They probably have a tab because there's only 31.2
oh, yeah.
of them
no,
in
no,
this
absolutely.
Entire town.
Yeah.
When they're like, the entire town is here. And I was like, yeah, they called all the extras, all 22 yeah. of them.
Uh-huh. Exactly. My theory is that this town is actually just like a commune of sorts.
I dig it.
A commune where like money doesn't exist. You gave them all of your funds in the beginning, and now you okay. live in this picturesque New York wonderland.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Also, her name is Kathy, and yeah. her business's name is Kathy's Cafe. She spells Kathy with a K.
She spells Kathy and Cafe with a K. Is that what you're right. getting to?
I am. Well, because I feel like we've got two missed opportunities. One that only I know about. Because my mom's name is Kathy with a C. All right? Uh-huh. And when I was younger, we owned a restaurant called Kathy's Kitchen. And she would go C-K. This bitch could have gone Kathy's Kitchen. And my mom should have gone Kathy's Cafe. What is the matter with these women? Honestly.
Okay.
Honestly.
I'm not going to say any of that because I'm not going to say anything to that because one of those people is real. So.
No. Say whatever you want. No, but my mom does have a more defensible position, though, because in my humble opinion, a diner is not a cafe. All right.
No, it's not.
And mostly what like the biggest thing my mom did at her restaurant was pizza. And so like that's also not a cafe, but it is a C. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I just think that people could have thought more about it is all I'm saying. Huh. Kathy's Kitchen. There you go. I renamed it.
I think that is a great idea. And I also love that you can, because I was like, I'm going to move my notes to the point that I want to talk about because you mentioned the crotch creature. And it was one of my moments where I identified the movie that walked into the break room, which is The Room, because she has a very awkward, you're my favorite customer.
Yeah.
conversation with this tiny child. And then the end of that scene, apparently all I wrote was, in all caps, do not hug unknown child, please. Don't touch other people's kids.
Keep your hands off child.
Please just stop.
I mean, granted, they do seem very familiar.
She is her favorite customer.
I mean, it's probably a law that if you're not a hugger, but you live in a cult, you have to hug the chocolate chip children.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, later in the narrative, she's very explicitly not a hugger. It becomes a plot point.
Oh, yeah. That's her whole personality then. She has dead husband and she's not a hugger.
Yeah.
So she goes into this diner, all right? Notably not a cafe.
Kathy's and Cafe her, Diner.
Yeah. And her employee, her like chef guy, says, did you get your heat fixed? And she says, I'm going to call him today. And my only note is perf snowman habitat. Because her house is obviously fit for a snowman.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's so cold all the time.
Look at you clocking that. Well done.
Now enter stage left, our resident Christmas crone.
Yes.
This is.
Yep. Yeah.
This is the
closest
beholder.
Thing to a Christmas crone that we have.
Yeah. Yeah. This
my
is the beholder
of
the spirit of Christmas.
Sorry.
I don't know. Okay. So this actress is that beautiful woman who's been in everything, but also nothing.
Oh, she's so pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Her name is Sherry Miller, and the only thing I actually know her from, other than, like, seeing her, like, randomly in places, is she was one of the moms in the American Queer as Folk. So she's the Christmas crone, and what's-her-name walks in, Kathy.
To their shop, which is called Reclaimed Rags, which is across the street from Kathy's Cafe, 3 feet across from the other side of the street.
And next door to the doctor, I'm sure.
Yes, actually, literally, because she says, let's go across the street to the doctor later.
Yeah. Okay, so the Christmas crone is like, how are you doing, other than professionally? And she's like, oh, you know, I'm just fine. I exist in the world. And she says that her mom once told her that in order to warm up, you got to go out into the cold.
No, the thing her stupid mom said was, you'll never find the warmth unless you venture out into the cold. older woman's friend's stupid mother used to say, is what I have in my notes. That's mm-hmm. the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's just bad advice.
Well, then she puts on her red scarf and on Christmas goes to the bar and somehow ends up finding a reliable life partner who is at a bar on Christmas, other than a very dedicated alcoholic or a person who hates their family.
If that's very fair. I will say that I think it'd be helpful to note Christmas Crone is telling story like, Kathy, my mom said that I had to go out into the cold. So one Christmas I did, and I put on my red scarf and I wandered out to a bar. And yes, I found a reliable like life partner.
I found the man of my dreams.
So like she just inherited her mom's bad advice.
Is she a homewrecker? Is what I'm asking. Oh. He's at the bar because he hates his family. She walks in. She's like, you want some of this sugar? And he's like, yeah, I do. I'm abandoning my family for you. Let's go start a store called Continued Clothes.
No, I can add
Reclaimed
to this.
Reclaimed rags.
This goes along. They were both wealthy business owners.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm coming up with canon. Wealthy business owners in this history, he lives a double life for several
She's
months.
She's his second family.
When he gets caught with mm-hmm. this, they decide to join the cult to get away from everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The commune.
All right, I'm all about it.
I'm just getting confused by my own notes. So yes, I support you.
Really quickly, would you, one more quickly, because we need to introduce these characters, I would like to give you more proof that this is a cult / commune.
Okay, all right. Lay it on me.
We have Sheriff Nate and Deputy Sheriff Ed.
Yeah.
They are Doyles from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Doug Judy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I think that Doug Judy had a turnaround and decided that he wanted to be the one in law enforcement. And found out about this commune. And he did come here for his new life. And Doyles came with his weird, weird wife from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
So the sheriff is Craig Robinson from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Hot Tub Time Machine.
From it?
Wasn't he in Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I've never seen it. I was asking you.
I actually haven't
either.
I love a sitcom. I'm a slut for a sitcom. So any sitcom from before like 2020, I probably watched. And Doug Judy is a big old criminal.
Jolo Trujillo.
Doug Judy is Nate.
Oh.
Sheriff Nate. He was a big old criminal. He was a car thief. He comes back in multiple seasons, but he has a weird flirtationship with the Brooklyn Nine-Nine staff.
Ooh.
In the sense that, like, he just can't stay away from them.
I love it. I love it.
Also,
and then the deputy is comedic genius Jolo Trujillo, or whatever his name is.
Who's Doyles from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and he is the exact same character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine as he is in this.
Oh, I might watch. I realized I had three favorite scenes. On the third viewing, I was like, I think I have three favorite scenes, and I realized he was in all of them. One of them's not a scene in the film. It is literally a blooper.
Yes, yes.
Can we bring back bloopers?
The bloopers were the best thing about this movie, honestly. Okay, so the moral of this story, the end of this scene, is that Christmas Crone is like, we recently got a red scarf that I would love to give to you because it reminds me of when I met my life partner. And so if you take this red scarf, I'm pretty sure you can get your clam slammed again. And she's like, I don't really want the scarf, but like, okay, I guess I'll take it.
Wait, I think that you gave the movie too much credit, and that's okay, because you're such a generous soul. did you cover the fact that she goes, I went out, my mother gave me bad advice, and so then I decided to go out into the snow with my red scarf. This other red scarf was recently brought to Reclaimed Rags, my business, and I immediately thought of you. It's not even the same scarf. And also, I did write, okay, plot device has entered the chat. Like, here, she's so much like, here is the magical garment of the movie. So, like,
yes.
We are answering the question the narrator asked at the beginning of the film of the audience, like, look at how different we are. It's not a hat this time. It is a different magical accessory.
Yes.
But I just assumed, it wasn't until my third listen that I was like, because I was just listening to it, that I was like, wait, wait, it's not magic, it's not because it was scarf. Like the founder of love for this like magical Christmas crown. She's just like, yeah, someone brought in this scarf. It like had vibes. It's just a red scarf.
Yeah, it's got like a waffle stitch on it or something. Okay, so now she walks outside. It is suddenly nighttime. It's dark. When she went over there, she brought them lunch. I just want that noted for the record.
Yeah, one with no mayo, one with a disgusting amount of mayo.
Like I said, tabs. Also, I am that man.
Are you?
I love a mayonnaise. No. I love mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. When I was a child, my mom used to find me in the kitchen eating mayonnaise out of the fridge with a spoon.
No. No. See, and I'm not a mayonnaise hater. I'm just like a person who enjoys a respectable serving of mayonnaise on a sandwich. That's all.
The phrase disgusting amount of mayo like lives inside of me from this film and like it is like one of the things that will haunt me until I die, I think.
I did go make a sandwich watching this movie because watching that scene, I was like, oh, I have to eat today. I should eat something. What am I going to eat? And then I was like, oh, I do have some brand new horseradish mustard and
a disgusting amount of mayonnaise.
I am going to go make a sandwich. And I did go make a disgusting amount of mayo sandwich. It was fantastic.
I'm glad that there are different levels of mayo.
It takes all kinds.
Engagers are mostly represented on this episode where Mel's like, I'm okay. You're like, I would like to sleep in it, apparently. And I'm like, I would like to vanquish it like a demon.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would like to say, though, like, what an asshole for being given a scarf and then immediately putting it on something outside.
Throwing it away like trash.
And leaving it.
Christmas, when there's the snow carpet outside. Or snow carpet. I did say I love snow carpet because it is snow carpet.
More proof that this is a rich people commune is that scarf didn't get immediately, like, why didn't you give that to a homeless person?
Was my point, is that she's like, yeah, it's winter and everyone, like, this beatific blonde child, I'll make her fucking chocolate chip pancakes, but I won't give this scarf to someone who wants to be warm. I mean, yes, we do not see any unhoused people in this film, which is, you know, not surprising, but also just like.
But also, ma'am, you live in a frigid wasteland of a home.
Yes.
You probably need that. You're the one in this town that needs this scarf.
Yes.
Truly. Well, okay. One thing that we haven't told listener about is that they apparently have this internationally renowned snow sculpture contest that happens in the town square. And
this is Melanie fanfic.
It does. No, it's not. There's a big giant sign. The sign is almost bigger than the town square. What are you talking about?
There's a sign?
Yes.
I did not notice that.
I didn't notice.
And it's announced on the radio at the beginning. Okay. If it's on the radio.
I was probably listening for when the narrator was going to pop back in. I just wanted to make room for him. And he was like, no, thank you. I'm done here.
But honestly, like, props to whoever decided to put in an absolutely ripped fucking snowman
that gets to dusting at the penis level.
Somebody came in and put their horny on public display, and I support them.
Oh yes,
but then
absolutely.
What happened? Did they get like? Was there an emergency conference call when they got to the dick? Because it's literally
chocolate
chisel.
Child cannot be the way that Doug Judy had an issue. With a man streaking through, you think that he would let a penis stay on full blast in the town square?
I'm just saying, if you're going to commit, if you're going to try to be Michelangelo, you need to give me some David.
They did the opposite of commit, because when he came to life, that scarf had to have been surgically attached to his crotch.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. I said they glued that scarf to his dong. Pardon me. They glued that sock to his privacy sock.
Okay, wait. But also, did you see the nipples on that snowman?
It literally the first thing in my notes. It says snowman is here, and then the next note, like the next bullet point is the nipples are two nipple. Like, why are these nipples doing so much?
I went down another internet rabbit hole, and I found out that those nipples were in fact used in the 2024 discus contest. At the Paris Olympics. So.
What are you talking? I just put on
these nipples some credit.
These nipples are like screaming at the screen. They are just like, Nimble!
It's almost a shot put.
I just put on the trailer to go to that scene. And that is...
Have you seen the nipples on snowman? They were like, we can't do downstairs genitalia, so we're just gonna really sculpt these upstairs genitalia.
That brings up, though, like, that, you know what? That check was written, but not cashed, because the zoom in on his crotch he's about to turn into a kind of real boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the wind starts swirling. Yes, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, like, slowly pans up. I was like, oh, yeah, she's getting fucked by an icicle. That's happening. This is a Netflix movie. That's going to happen. You can do that on a Netflix movie. And then they were like, actually, we're not doing that, actually. I was very disappointed.
I wrote, mystical chimes tinkling, literally is the quote in the closed captions. And then I have all caps, why does it zoom in on his dick for the transformation? And then I said, that scarf wavers like it's a threat. And then the Pete energy is intense. And then all caps, they glued that scarf to his dong.
The reason we know that is because he sneezes and bends over.
He leans over.
All of the scarf moves except for the part on his package. Literally like it's costume taped to his dick. It's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, so now...
Old man and woman walking dog.
Ethel and Mortimer.
Yes.
Important characters.
Oh, wow. Well done.
I was in love with Ethel.
What is up with the names in this movie, too, other than Nate?
It's a commune.
That's fair.
But Ed, Ethel, Mortimer, Kathy, Dottie? Dottie is the doctor?
I mean, nothing about this film was modern, so it's very possible it was written boomers? In 1984, and 1984 was not ready for it.
I don't know. I thought it was shockingly political.
There is a Mel looking at the IMDb.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, yeah. Mel is the Christmas crone.
I could not have told you the names of those characters. I was like, the lady who is like a very charming actress playing a character that is like... I found deeply unlikable, and the man, I just called him Mayo.
Literally, I have the IMDb up next to me. Well, so
I just have my notes that I started typing, and then the notes that I had to write longhand because a cat decided that she was so bored by the movie that she must sleep on my lap. So we're going to get low tech in a minute.
Nice. Okay, so sneezes. All right.
Can I interrupt? Because I really wanted... Please. I noticed a thing and I want to do a thing. Basically, for anyone who's been... listener has been like, I didn't watch this movie. I should have because like I can't follow this. What has happened? Opening scene. She's cold, has hole in stairs. She goes to cafe. Weird child. Chocolate chip pancakes. Visits friends. Mayo conversation. Scarf is handed over. Puts scarf on snowman. Snowman comes alive. That is literally all that's happened in the movie so far. And I just realized it. And I was like, we're bad
at this.
And
we are 43 really minutes in.
I'm so sorry.
We're 43 minutes in.
I wasn't going to say it because like I know you get mad. But
10 minutes into the movie. Yeah.
So now I'll let you keep going. I just thought I'd give a recap because I have been a listener who's like, wait, I didn't read thing or I didn't watch thing. And I struggle follow. So I just thought I'd give like bullet points.
Okay. So now he's a real boy, but he's naked in the town square, covered in frost. And
at night.
Yeah. And Ethel and Mortimer are just trying to walk their dog. Okay. And he says, hello, how are you? I'm an Olaf. I just came to life.
I still don't like it.
And and so then like everybody screams, right? He goes running away. And then
definitely slipped a disc.
The older gentleman slips and falls and probably will have surgery eventually. The older woman, I think I wrote something like, I think she's supposed to be horny. I find it really gross that she's like, oh, there's a naked person who is running away. I want to chase them for my own enjoyment. But
this guy is definitely, Jack is definitely old lady bait. And that is proved over and over and over in this movie.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The amount of creepy old ladies in this movie is kind of amazing. I'm honestly wondering, because he's like, by the end of the movie, he's 2 weeks old, right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Do you think all of the like the creepy, like the super predatory, creepy old ladies that are in the book are there to offset the age and power difference between this, you know, 2 to 8 day old snowman.
Oh,
and
do you
a
mean
grown
to make the main character seem
who's
like
been
she's
married?
Less... Yes. I will say, I don't know how much this is a term everywhere, but the born sexy yesterday was what I was going to bring up. The like thing that has often been a female character. I was like, I thought that I Your faces. It's
Sabrina
just
is having
the
a
best
revelation.
Faces, Sabrina. Sometimes I just want to say things so you react.
I whimsied so hard that he was born when he became real.
That's fair. You're protecting your heart.
I just chose not to acknowledge that. Like, not a single aspect of my notes. It didn't even, like, you... It feels like the first time I'm learning it. I know it's not, but this feels like the first time I'm learning that canonically he was just born.
Yeah. Well, okay, I think it jumped out to me because so many, maybe 100% of their interactions are parent-child coded.
Yes. Yes.
Like, she's constantly being like, we can't do that. That's a boundary. And he's like, but I want to do that. Why can't I? Or, yep. Like, she's teaching
explaining
him how to do
love.
Things. She's showing. At one point, he asks her what cancer is. And she says, it's not a nice thing that happens to people. What? Yep. I would give a more detailed answer to my 5-year-old.
Yes.
Like, what is happening right now? I mean, like, at one point, he goes and sulks in his room because she says he can't go to middle school.
Oh,
to
God,
be a janitor.
I didn't notice that one.
And then she comes in.
There was so much
space. Literally,
she says you can't go to middle school. And then there was so much space to be a janitor. But I was just like, oh my God, he can't. You're right. He can't go to middle school. He's not ready.
No, he's not ready. And also, he's too old biologically. Like, oh, and then she goes to the room. I'm so sorry, listener. I'm skipping ahead, but she goes to the room to do the parent thing where after a big blow up, you go to your kid and you're like, hey, I'm really sorry that I snapped at you. Sometimes grownups have big feelings too. And so now that we know, thank you so much for doing all the work on the house. You can go to your big boy job tomorrow.
You are such a good boy that I'll let you go participate in capitalism.
I have had this conversation with my kids. I know I overreacted. I'm so sorry. I didn't have a handle on my big feelings.
Well, coming up so soon was, I didn't notice the room one. That's so good. I noticed the one where she comes home after she's let him be at her home by himself because she's like, look at those nipples. I need that.
Yeah.
I don't want it, but I need it. But she comes home and he like comes around the corner because she's like looking for him. She's like, did you steal my TV? Hello, where are you?
Yeah.
And he like comes around the corner and she like yells because she's startled and he gets freaked out and she does the parent thing. That's the one I noticed where it was like, I'm sorry, I overreacted. I know that was a scary thing.
Like, I didn't mean to scare you.
And I noticed because that's how I talk to my cats, where I'm like, you're right. You don't have the power to understand what just happened. I am in control of how calm the situation is. I'm going to calm it down because that's my responsibility.
Yeah. And she's carrying an entire bag full of clothes that she just purchased for him.
Yeah. She's like, I just love the idea that you're going to put your nipples in here. Sorry.
Okay. So look, he wakes up. He scares this family. They scare him back. And so he goes running, right? He accidentally falls through a window at a store. And...
Yes.
Steal some clothing.
Yeah, he's roughly 3 minutes old. We fast forwarded a lot, but like we need to just reminder that he's about 3 minutes old right now.
Yeah. And thank goodness he's magical because he does land on a pile of glass, but somehow is fine. He gets a onesie. Oh my God, he gets a onesie. Man. They put him in a onesie when he's 3 minutes old.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Oh my God. Oh no. Oh no.
He sack on it and some boots, and he leaves there.
They're galoshes. I know, because Mayo keeps saying galoshes, and I'm just like, okay, you've earned your keep, because for some reason I find you saying galoshes over and over again very funny.
Oh my god, how did I not clock the onesie? Holy shit. So, okay, I did find this next part really, really entertaining and wonderful, because when she finds him the next day, she sees this himbo in the town square talking to the other snowmen, saying, look what happened to me.
This is vital.
Interesting choice of the term himbo, because I was like, this is further proof that this has to be a rich people commune, because she saw this happening in the town square and didn't immediately go, oh, that is,
like, that's a mental health crisis.
Safe for me to go talk to this person instead of immediately call a professional.
Mm-hmm. I definitely thought it was, yes, that is a fair point. My reaction was, well, there are two, but my main one was that she looked over at this person having a mental health crisis and she was like, but he's hot. So, like,
oh, yeah,
those nipples, though.
I was like, if you were a few ticks down on the attractiveness scale, like, you would have just been left out there to ride out your time as a snowman and then melt in March.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, absolutely. Listen, here's where we get political. All right. Put on, strap in and strap on.
Okay, I'm ready.
This man is also a very attractive white man.
Yes.
And this movie has a lot of immigration and defund the police tones. All right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's wild because as Craig Robinson is a black man and he's the sheriff, like, the races are sort of swapped, where it's the black man who's doing a bunch of overzealous policing and actually, like, doing a big police brutality at one point. Yes. He kills a suspect in custody. Murderer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That gets very conveniently brushed over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, because not only is he the token minority.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we find other out than that her the plot only device other... cook.
Oh, I forgot about him. I was going to comment on the child, though, that turns out to be his son.
Yep.
You know what
the
I mean?
The one, like, other it is... person of color that is given, like, actual lines that are not to move the plot along.
And in this scene where she takes him to the diner, the only other person in the entire town who says, should we get Law and Order involved, is the other black man.
Yep.
The chef of the diner. Yep. I mean, and like, I don't know. It was just, it was noticeable to me because every other person other than, like, her waitress, the server at the restaurant is a person of color. But, like, every white person in town is just like, oh, no, he's totally normal and everything's fine. And it's sort of whimsical because at least some of them just accept on the face of it the premise that he is a snowman come to life. Notably, the doctor does that at the very beginning of the film. But
yeah, and she, boy, she was ready to go down to pound town.
We haven't gotten past snow dude doing his motivational speaking to other snow people. So the doctor has not yet arrived.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't want to pass the him going all of a sudden as she's walking up in the daylight. Because, like, the last time we've seen him, he fell through glass. He stole galoshes and a onesie, which is which are, for if anyone who hasn't watched it, it's coveralls. They're just coveralls and they have a name tag that says Jack. And then the next morning, it's like daylight. You kind of see her wake up in her cold thing and change the bucket. And then she heads back to her cafe early before anyone else is out, theoretically. Mm-hmm. And then she sees him wandering around and he goes, I love talking. And like, as though he just realized he could, even though he has said hello. Like, the incident that will become important to the plot, where he's like naked and startles some old people. The whole point is that he said hi to these people.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Got their attention. It's like, did he just notice he can talk? And then as soon as he realizes he can talk, apparently, he starts telling the other snow people, I came to life and you can too. And I just want to imagine, like, the hellscape that would be, like, all of these snow people coming to life and being so resentful of the fact that, like, they weren't given more realistic anatomical
parts. Absolutely.
They're like, why am I not chiseled?
Yes.
Why don't I have arms?
Well, because in this internationally renowned snow sculpting competition that never comes back and we don't know like anything never. About it or who the judges are, why isn't the person who did that sculpture fucking pissed off that it's disappeared somehow?
I wanted someone to take credit. Like, oh my God, my sculpture. That's why, like, the older woman, I wanted it to be her, the horny lady who comes in later, who is like a fucking sex pest. Yes. I wanted her to be the one who's like, oh, that's why I'm attracted to you. I created you.
I mean, from did horniness. She or did the heroine? I don't know.
Okay. Oh, you think that the heroine secretly did want clam slamming so hard that she made a chiseled snowman?
I'm just saying, did the person who chiseled the snowman create him, or did the person who put the scarf that brought him to life on him create him? You know what I mean? Maybe it's a team effort.
Philosophical question.
Yeah, maybe it's a chicken and egg thing.
So intellectual. Okay.
All right, I'm going to motor us a little bit. So please drop in if you have a comment, okay? That's important. So she ends up taking him to the doctor. The doctor thinks that the thermometers are broken because his temperature is below 30. He's also sweating in this office. And then she's like, well, what if maybe magic? Like, maybe this is magic. And we love magic here. The scientist in me is startled, but hey, whatever. And then she's like, she says, you can come home with me, buddy.
Yeah, she specifically says, it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
Period, the end.
Yeah.
That's when magic happens.
And then he doesn't want to go home with her because she is not the woman who put the scarf on him. He has baby ducklinged onto her.
Mm-hmm.
He has imprinted.
Yes, he has. She says, why would you trust me? That doesn't make any sense. And he says, and I quote, you put the scarf on me, and I'm pretty sure that's what's keeping me alive. So technically, I've known you my entire life.
Yes. It's horrible. It's horrible.
It's upsetting.
So yes, the doctor is like, do you want to come home? He's like, nah. And then he goes home with main character who has a name, which is Kathy. Then she brings him home. Is there anything important here?
She tells him to watch TV and to stay put. Just cool it and we'll figure it out.
Uh-huh.
The actual plot importance is that he keeps telling Kathy that he loves her. And this is where she explains to him that that's not how love works. You can say that you love things and like, you know, you love pancakes or whatever, but saying it to a person means something and you need more time to know that you love someone.
I specifically have an issue with the fact that she says that saying it like that doesn't make it special anymore. And I'm like, I want to tell everybody that I love them. And I'm going to love freely. And
I will not be contained.
And fuck you, Kathy.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Love is not a finite resource.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love multiplies.
I get her perspective, too, though. I was very much it is making me twitch. But you are also correct. I don't think there's a right and wrong here.
The undertone for me of this conversation is... There are different kinds of love. There's a mommy and daddy love, and then there's a mommy and child love, and then there's friend love. And you can't tell me that you love me the way that you love chocolate cake, because that's different. That's a different kind of love.
He loves her because she's his mother.
Yes!
He's imprinted, yeah.
Wait, which one of them is Jacob Black? One of them is Jacob and the other one is...
Renesmee?
Thank you, Renesmee. I was like, Bellissima? Oh, I don't remember what...
Yeah. So, all right. Wow. So she leaves this drifter in her house. No questions asked. And then when she goes to the diner...
clearly going through a mental health crisis.
I mean, honestly.
But it's so affable. She commented.
That is canon. Everybody is like, something is happening with this man.
Yeah. Anyway, she goes to the diner and Craig Robinson comes in. By the way, Craig Robinson is doing his keyboard best throughout this movie and I'm obsessed with it. He comes up with this original song about crime in Hope Springs and I cannot get enough of it.
Crime doesn't pay. Brr, brr, brr. Not today. Here in Hope Springs.
Honestly.
Oh, it's so good.
It was wonderful. The fact that it came back in the end brought me a lot of joy.
My note is, Sheriff is trying to make this a musical and I want to let him.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. Okay, so also he comes into the diner to let everybody know it's red alert. There's a big crime happening. And so now she finds out that this drifter is also a flasher and a thief. And she's like, but do you think he's dangerous, though? And Craig Robinson, he keeps on doing that thing with his aviators, like CSI Miami, that guy from CSI Miami, taking off his aviators and looking straight into the camera.
We see that he has a little
carousel. He has a carousel on his desk of
20 aviator glasses. Oh my God, it's so good. But he says there's nothing more dangerous than a lack of respect for law and order or something like that.
Yes.
Is that right, Sabrina?
Disrespect.
Yes.
And then Deputy Ed leans in.
To be clear.
Oh, go ahead.
Mel, I have not quoted 80% of this movie into my notes because I can't copy and paste. To be clear, you're like, is that correct, Sabrina?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm not going to know 99% of the time, Mel.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. So Nate, Craig Robinson, the sheriff.
Sheriff Nate.
Is like, it's a big stranger danger. If you see anybody who doesn't belong here, report them ASAP. And
commune. Commune of 30 rich people.
I mean,
you know everybody in this town.
Or border towns in Texas. I don't know. Listen, who's to say?
Yeah, if you see something, if you see something, say something.
Anyway, and then the deputy's like, I really don't think it's that big a deal.
He kind of leans in behind Nate's back. Like, they're like an adorable will they, won't they romance in my heart.
But yes,
they're extremely lovable. I was very disturbed by the fact that they very much were like, we're going to pay the most for the actors who are playing the cops because no one wants cops in their movies right now or ever.
Yeah.
And I was so annoyed by how much I liked them. And I also was like, that sheriff character is a murderer. So this is really rough for everyone.
Yeah. This movie is like, is it a cab? You know what I mean? Like, is there?
It is very much definitely... like, look at what the cops do. So I was a little bit there for it. And the nice thing about them giving Craig Robinson, instead of the like, because he's the more detestable character and he gets like lectured at the end, but they also gave him a character that gets to develop. So I was very conflicted about like how they allocated. He is the only character who actually, I was, I also made that note that like, I think he's literally the only character I saw grow. So like, apparently like the big M. Night Shyamalan at the end is that actually he was the main character the whole time.
Which is horrifying because we do witness the birth of a man.
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay, so she leaves him at home, and it turns out if he can consume it from the TV, he can learn it. Oh, but God. Honestly, he
is all of our, we wish we were him. Like, you know that toxic trait where you watch a video of somebody else do something, and you're like, I can do that. He can do that.
Yeah.
Wish fulfillment for all of us.
A little bit for it.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, let me just tell you, I have patched my hose several times from a YouTube video. I cut my kid's hair.
Oh, that's not, everybody that's can not fuck what I'm off. Talking about, Mel. I'm talking about stained glass.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm talking about like retiling my bathroom.
Yep.
I'm talking about putting in trim with a brand new bandsaw. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about wiring my... We're not talking about a trim. We're not talking about any of those things. We're talking about fixing a roof.
I mean...
I'm so honored that you're sharing your truth with us. So I'm just glad to be here.
This is all hypothetical.
Okay. I was like, wow, you've been really ambitious lately.
Somebody ends up stopping her before she actually dives in. Before she takes a sledgehammer to anything, somebody talks her out of it.
This is how you know that my mental health is better, is half the time I'm the one who stops myself.
Yeah.
That is an accomplishment. That's not a joke.
Pretty
That's great. Really an accomplishment. And
Pretty great. Instead, I just go spend a lot of money on stuff to put curtains up because that's more realistic than retiling my bathroom.
Yeah.
Continue.
So this poor man does learn how to do a bunch of handy stuff like make pizza, but he also is under the impression that Draculas are real.
I was going to say, please don't reel. He Nosferatu comes on the TV. It was one of the best things because he immediately he jumps over the couch and is like hiding from the Nosferatu on the screen. And then he has to check the house for vampires. And this is the one thing I have to say before I turn it back over to you, which is that I was so offended as someone who once worked in the law field that he goes downstairs to check, you know, to make sure there are no vampires down there. And that banker's box is that banker's box, branded banker's box.
Yes.
Is pristine. I was like, how dare you? How dare you imply that those keep their crisp edges for more than
it
4 seconds?
Beaten up to fuck. Yeah. Yeah. This yeah. Is yeah. Not,
I don't feel seen at all. Now you can keep going with
the
plot.
It was a mood for him looking for, scaring himself via Nosferatu, but I immediately lost the mood when he immediately went into the basement.
Well, he has a child. What? It probably made sense to his child brain.
Basements are dark, Sabrina. Why wouldn't a Dracula be there?
Why would you go down there?
You have to be like 5 before you realize dark should be like a threat. Yeah.
Oh,
that's fair.
Oh, okay. That's You're right. Fair. And he's 5 days.
Yeah.
No, no, no. He's 2 days. Two.
He's
we're
5 hours.
We're at a hot
maybe.
2. Yeah. Yes. So when he goes down there, he finds this banker's box and like... Y'all, they did a zoom in on this AI
Comic
Photoshop
Sans cousin of font of like he has cancer, must go chemo.
Okay, I was going to talk about the wedding photos at first.
Oh,
but
sorry, go.
Because no, you are brilliant because I would screen share it for you if it wouldn't totally derail us, but my note is I said what is the font on his quasi medical charts? It's first cousin to Comic Sans. That's what I wrote.
I can hear angels singing. Is everyone else hearing that?
I am.
Just,
I
this
do
feels
hear.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, that's wow, incredible. These wedding photos, they do a zoom in on this wedding photo. And like, that was a bad choice, filmmaker. Okay.
If it's not
because
AI.
You can see like the.
Yeah.
These
the
people are not in
the
same the photo.
Two. No.
It's fuzzy. It's wild. It was incredible.
Also, why is it sepia? That's a choice.
Yeah. Also that. Yes. So then he finds
Bad
these.
Sepia.
He finds these medical chart situations and he can read. Okay.
So, I had a lot of questions.
A, he can read.
About that.
B, like he can read the word cancer and like it says like chemo scheduled. He can write. But then when she gets home, he has to ask her what cancer is.
Mommy, what is
and
cancer?
And I was just, Mommy, what is cancer? I'm not, yes.
Maybe add that to the trigger warnings.
I have had so many of these talks with my actual children. So when she gets home.
Ma'am, you haven't cooked at home since your husband died. There's no fucking way that you have the shit to make homemade pizza and eggnog.
No, absolutely not. No.
She didn't have pepperoni, but she had ham. You're right. Oh, my God. I didn't even catch it. God, you're so good.
But also, Sabrina, more proof that this is a rich person commune.
Commune?
Did you notice how judgy she was about his crimes of necessity? Huh. She's like, you stole. Okay, well, we can't do that. And I'm like, you left
your... Well, we can't
your...
do... You can't do that yet because you don't have a tab open at the local commune, finance keeper's thing.
Well, and she's the one who left her progeny out in the freezing cold with no resources whatsoever. And then she comes at him being like, you're poor and you shouldn't have done those crimes because you're poor.
To be clear, she did not know that she was birthing a man when she threw out that perfectly good scarf. Okay?
When she saw a muscular snowman and was like, of all people, I feel the most... sympathy and desire to help you for some reason that I'm not
Which
going to
I think
explore.
It's just the craziest thing, and this is just more proof that this is a rich person commune, is that she cosplays as a poor person, but she clearly has money.
Yes.
I mean, she makes it rain on him later. Like, it's wild.
Yeah. And it's also not a fucking problem that he uses her credit card. I looked up how much it is to buy a sheet of paint of
glass. I was going to ask you guys.
And have it shipped.
Yeah, how much
it's
do you see?
It's multiple thousands of dollars, especially
multiple
commercial grade glass.
Yeah, I was going, I looked at the glass that we had to order because I live in Portland. Teenagers got some ideas after the quote unquote riots. Teenagers, for the record, everyone who wants to talk to me about how Portland is, it was like little white teenagers. Anyway, but the point is that we've had to replace our glass multiple times. And yeah, it was like $2,400 and they are smaller than that.
Yeah. Especially like a solid sheet of pane of glass that big and then getting it delivered, that had to have been minimum $14,000. In the dead of winter, that fat express shipping?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, that's like easily 15 grand.
Yeah, you're totally talking about like door panes. When I'm talking about a couple thousand bucks for just door panes.
So he makes her pizza. And it's kind of adorable because she has post-it notes all over the thing being like, call the repairman. And so
he mimics her because he admires his parent.
Yes. He puts up post-it notes all over the place going hot.
Ooh, oven hot.
Hot oven. Hot. Don't touch.
Yeah.
This is very funny.
So then he does. So it's the next day. He becomes Mr. Fix-It because she talks about, he's like, why is your house such a shithole? And she's like, well, you know, when my husband died, he did everything because his job was handyman. Mm-hmm. And, I just put together. Yeah, they definitely came into this rich. This is a cosplay rich people commune because, like, how do you have this much money when you own a diner for a town of 30?
Yeah.
And your husband's literal job is handy person.
Yeah. Okay, I have to rewind a tiny bit, and I'm very sorry about it. It is crucial, though, to the plot and
the hand touch?
To my no. Okay, I was going. Not going to talk about the hand touch. There is a
pizza cutter like, hand
is
touch.
Is it
that's
flirty
it.
Hand touch? Yeah. No. As they watch TV that night, eating pizza, his is cold pizza, hers is hot pizza. They watch some sort of documentary about the place Hawaii. All right.
Oh, right.
And he says, let's go to there. And she says, A, people who just met each other don't go on vacation together. It's not appropriate. And then B, like...
That's quitter's talk, but continue.
Maybe you haven't seen it recently, but I have. I was waiting for him to break into song about... doing what frozen things do in summer. That is what Olaf sings in Frozen. He wants to be in summer. He has a whole song about how he's going to frolic around in summer times. And they won't tell him that he will melt. She does him the service of telling him. So how dare you come at me about him being an Olaf.
that's really difficult evidence to refute.
So then she does comment on that it's also expensive to go to Hawaii, and like it is, but ma'am.
Yeah, she was very much like, that is not the barrier.
You just shit money.
I mean, yes. So now she goes to bed and he watches the super regular cable program, How to Fix Your Roof.
Yes.
Yep. Like, it really is like a YouTube video put on the TV.
It is.
And so the next day, he becomes Mr. Fix-It. He's on the roof.
Word for word, my note.
Oh, nice. Nice. He's on the roof. Oh, and every single scene, he's wearing this red scarf. Right now, it's tied around as though it's like the top of a sarong.
It is like early mid-knots fashion.
I where you loved wore,
like,
it.
A neck scarf.
Oh, it looked like a Disney print sash to me.
Oh, I like that. Like,
the sash around their waist.
For sure. Mm. Yes. You know,
like back when men could be a little bit flamboyant without having questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a shirt on. And so slutty
old
lady
Jane. He does cause an accident.
He does not cause an accident.
Yeah.
Okay. He is
a disgustingly.
He's existing in the world. All right.
You're right.
I was so bothered by this. I'm so sorry. I just jumped on you so hard, but I really wanted to jump on the movie. I'm going to walk it back. I was so fucking frustrated when it was like...
To be fair, I was too.
Okay.
I was like,
he's just being sexy in the world. And he gets blamed for her wrecking her. There's an older, like a slightly older woman who is just like one of the most polished blonde women.
She's super hot.
She's supposed to be in the film. She's older.
Lauren somebody. And she calls herself an older lady.
That's it.
Lauren Holly. She's been in everything. Jane she's fucking Miller. Gorgeous. Yes.
I literally never looked that good in my life.
No.
Even when I was 3 days look that old good right and now. Apparently at my hottest.
this is what happens when there is a dedicated hair and makeup stylist at the rich people commune, you know?
You know, you have got a point. Also, she is honestly in some ways goals because she has no less than 20 pairs of incredibly flamboyant and fantastic eyeglasses that she wears throughout this movie.
Yeah, I did notice that. That was very Melody coded.
It was hugely this slutty old lady, all right? She calls herself an older lady. I'm not saying that.
She
identifies that way. And I think it's because it's supposed to make his relationship with the heroine more palatable.
I think you might be right.
I would like to throw out that there's an accident. She does run into a snow. She backs up into a snowdrift because she passes, sees him, and then has to reverse because he's just too sexy. I'm gonna just say that him coming down that ladder or something.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
I didn't sploosh.
You know what I mean?
He's a naturally attractive man. I am not like I couldn't tell you my type if I tried. But the point is that I was like, I want good things for you, you poor innocent infant. But I was not attracted until he came down that ladder. And then I think to her again.
That's exactly it. He was
a competence boner.
Infantile. Boy, him coming and the way that scene was shot, those producers knew what they were doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something about the slide of those boots and then hitting the snow. I just wanted him to approve of me.
And like the low slung jean. Like I was already like a little
pirate sash.
Wow. That felt like a direct
attack.
You're
right. Competence boner, Melody.
And I suddenly did not judge old lady. Right. You know what I mean? Like he went from just born infant man to, oh, this is a sexual being. And I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Well, and this is like one of several scenes that is the start of a porn movie. And then it is shot a porn movie.
Yeah,
because he comes over and he's like, oh, ma'am, it looks like you're in a spot of trouble. She's like, I don't know what I was doing. And he's like, do you want me to push you out of this?
Do you want me to push from behind is how he phrases it.
He does fuck her via car.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yep.
And she gets flustered as if she's being penetrated. It's fantastic.
He's like pushing
hilarious.
And then and she's like, okay.
If you think that she does not get home and there's a snail trail from the garage to her kitchen, you are incorrect.
I was like, okay, I'm letting you do this movie, fine. And
no,
then
I know.
He comes up and in his innocent voice goes, I am so wetty. Like, it's just so innocent. And I'm just like,
I
retroactively want to undo this movie. Like, just stop with the innocent thing as an addendum to the very, very, like, innuendo-y
explicit?
Scene. I was going to say explicit, then I felt guilty.
Because then, I'm so sorry. Again. This is a very specific perspective. But then... predator woman says, I know your mommy. I've known her for years. You can come home with me.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I need a safe space.
She basically offers him candy into her white van. I lost a puppy, and your mom told me you could come help me find it. The lost puppy is I need a light hung.
I need to go.
You're right, though, because then he's like, my mommy says I'm not supposed to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
And she says, oh, I've known her for her whole life.
I've known her for 30
She'll
years.
Have no
I was wondering
problem
what that note
with you
was about.
Coming home with me. That's totally fine. So anyway, this stepmom porno slash child predation ends, and they go to her house. She invites all the other ladies over so
quote
that they
unquote,
can drink
ladies,
and watch him
yeah.
hang stuff.
Did that include Christmas Crone? She was the one who wasn't reacting to him sexually,
she was,
right?
No, yeah. Christmas Crone was
she was
there,
the only
yeah.
normal one, though. She
was just
all
like doing normal things. She was like, I thought I was coming over for tea, not for sex
yeah.
crimes.
Yes, exactly.
Where they're like watching
sex
him.
Crime yes. in Hope Springs. Honestly, Sheriff Nate was looking at the wrong crimes, and this
no,
is further
right.
proof.
Yes,
this is further proof that this is a rich people commune.
They're insulated. You're right.
Sex crimes don't matter at a rich people commune. What does matter is a stranger streaking.
Uh huh.
I don't think it would have been a problem if Mortimer decided
that was
to streak.
Unauthorized dong.
Or if Slutty Jane did, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, mm-hmm. then one of the ladies offers him a job at the middle school because apparently this is the one school in the whole country who doesn't do background checks. How can
I
he get
I
hired
I
need
to break it to you,
school?
But I don't think this is the one school in the country who doesn't do background checks. But let's
really?
Not linger.
I would also like to comment that the child to family ratio in this town is
wild.
Suspect at best.
Yeah. No, it's quiverful for sure.
I don't know what that means.
There are so many kids
oh,
and
there
no
are
adults.
So many kids. You are correct.
They can populate a middle school on its own.
Right. Uh-huh. Maybe they bus in some of those children from the normal
oh,
world.
That's...
To try to draft the youngins into their commune.
Ooh, maybe.
Ooh,
maybe.
Oh no, you're saying that they're being groomed?
Oh god. Yeah, but I didn't know I was saying it. But also, I'm not the worst because Melody's the one who pointed out the scene where she was like, come to my home because I know your mother. And we're gonna have you hang a light shirtless. He's not shirtless, but emotionally
he
he's
has
shirtless.
A shirt.
Yes,
yeah,
I know because
she's
she says
really
he's going to go put a shirt on, and she's very disappointed earlier in the scene.
Yeah,
I do need to point out that I apparently it rose because at this point I was taking notes by hand, so only important things got taken down.
Yeah.
And I wrote painting is haunted and hideous in this room. So apparently, listener, if you watch
yes.
this back, apparently there's a painting in that room. I was so offended by that at like 12 p.m. while I'm watching this movie and taking notes. I was
mm-hmm.
upset enough that I wrote it down.
Yeah, it's a really it's an abstract art that.
Oh, did you remember it? I don't even remember it. I just apparently was mad.
I don't remember exactly what it is,
but you remember how it made you feel.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but I noted it in my brain parts. So now the ladies take him to the diner, and she's
yeah.
like
in a convertible
what the fuck?
With a top down. Sorry, keep going.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, and so he comes in and she says, what the fuck? I told you you were grounded. You're not allowed to
yep.
come out of the house. And he's like, well, but your friend Jane told me that I could because she knows you. And then they sit down and the sheriff comes in. And then we get this ice eating dick measuring contest.
Yes.
That I was very confused about.
I couldn't even acknowledge the dick measuring contest. I think that this was, like, hinted at with the pond scum conversation. Like, there's been a lot of hints at it throughout my time on this podcast. But the fact that all of these people came directly into this building, did not wash their hands, and then had a communal ice cup.
That they were getting with their hands.
Went into their mouth holes. Yeah. And not just, like, picking up. They were full on like bulldoze,
like,
or
they were
like,
grizzly
like,
bear pawing it.
The way a middle schooler tries to grab your boob for the first time, because they're like, I
go.
Don't know, I have urges and I don't know what I'm doing. They were doing that to the ice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fascinating.
I know, I'll look into the world. It's okay, I had very quick reflexes.
Wow, that is okay.
It's fucked
good.
Up, right?
Glad
moving on.
So, anyway.
Here, edit this in. High schooler. There you go. You can just clip that right in there.
No, I know people were doing that in middle school. It's wild. That's just not a, universal experience. Anyway, so I was too weird, to be clear, in middle school.
Oh, but I was super normal, so that's...
No, I'm sure that you were also weird, but we were different flavors of weird. I don't know. It's
that's
just
fair.
I wasn't in situations, I guess, where boob honking was a possibility.
That's fair. I don't even think... Like I said, I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt and be like, although, they had urges and it was real... It was real aggressive as it approached, and then I was just like, that's where I learned to run, you know? I became a track star.
To be clear, it's not just middle schoolers. So, like, it's really just a timeline thing that's not universal. That's just, the boob honking is a universal, I think.
Listen, I had a boob honk attempt or two in high school as well. I think it's like the, when they figure out what nerve endings are, and they're like, oh, you have hair in those? I thought they were here for me. Moving on. Back to the ice that they were boob honking. They went in, unwashed hands, boob honking this ice.
Also, like, she is so aware that she's harboring a fugitive. She comments on it constantly, and I'm like, if you think the entire town isn't, like, she's like, we have to keep it a secret. I have a fugitive!
No, totally. Yes. She's constantly talking about it. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, okay, fair. So she extricates him from this situation. And when they get to the car, she's like, I am serious about this laying low situation. You need to stay at home and stop this.
You're grounded.
And yeah. And he says, but I got a job at the school. And she says, no, you absolutely did not.
You can't go play with your friends.
And then he, with the most confused look on his face in the whole wide world, he says, why are you so mad? I'm just trying to help people like you do.
Also, in what way does she fucking help? She makes people make food for customers for money. It's just like, this is one where...
There's no exchange of money for goods and services.
Listen, if it's a commune, they're keeping a tab.
Yeah, this is true.
They're back, they're keeping a tab. They pay monthly. Anyway.
Well, so then they go home, they walk in, and he goes straight to his room and he slams the door.
Yes,
and then,
I do.
And then, like an absolute lunatic, he does lay on the bed with his shoes on, the head of the bed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, right by his pillow. Yeah.
I don't even remember what happens in the scene because I was so horrified by that.
I remember. Walks through the house and she notices that the roof is not leaking. And, like, here's the thing.
Closed
y'all.
Captioning
it's not...
says heartwarming music. Keep going, Mel.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm just wondering if he attended to any of the subsequent issues that would happen from a roof leaking for that long. Because at that point, the problem is not.
Because there's no water stain on the ceiling.
I know, but that's like a 4-day job to remediate all of that water damage in the bowels of the house and then drywall over it and then paint
well,
and everything else.
Because this is a 2-story home. So
and she was on the
through,
bottom
it
floor.
Went through subfloor. Yeah.
Why was
through...
the bucket on the first floor? Why wasn't she like, I should probably catch this en route to the first floor?
Oh, also, this strikes me as the type of house that has a staircase to the attic.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
absolutely.
Anyway. Yes.
So anyway, the step on the stair is fixed. And she's like, oh, wow, that's incredible. And then she walks into her living room and he's created Christmas magic. He decorated with all of her basement supplies to make Christmas magic in her house. And so she's like, you know what? He's really been a good boy lately. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to apologize to him for the way that I snapped at him. She does that. And then by the end of this conversation, she says, okay, as in he can go to school and be the decorator man or whatever. And he says, okay. And she goes, okay. He goes, okay. Like, he is so excited that he has gotten her permission to go to his big boy job. And I was so happy for him, you know.
I will say this was one of the most charming moments from that actor, who has been very charming throughout the movie, to be clear.
I loved him. He was the energy of the whole movie.
Yes.
I feel like.
Yes, I wanted him to grow up and be successful, whatever he wanted to be. I wanted his big dreams to come true.
Yeah. Oh, but while he's sulking, though, on the TV,
Jennifer Coolidge from Mystery Movie.
Yep, from, I think it's Single All the Way. I think it's Single All the Way, the LGBTQ Christmas movie from a while ago. I think that's what it was.
Yes, I
She's Glinda the Good Witch on the TV.
Yes.
She does. Yeah. God, she does.
So adorable.
Okay. Oh. And then he says, oh my gosh.
Sabrina. This is Ted from Schitt's Creek?
Yes. He's the veterinarian that dates Alexis. Yeah.
Your faces are fantastic. The fact that you guys are on a constant video podcast is like a real missed opportunity.
Okay, wait. So then roughly, what is he, 4 days old now?
Yes.
So if we're doing every day is like maybe a year or something, I don't know how to. It had to be more than that, but I don't know. Around this time.
4 years. Every day is 4 years because then he would be 16 and getting his first job.
Okay, I like that. But at around 4 or 5 years old, kids often start contemplating their mortality. And that's right where he is right now. Because he says, I don't know what's happening any more than you do, Kathy. I could wake up tomorrow and be a puddle. So I just want to make the most of the time that I have while I'm here.
And I did not see that laying the groundwork for the very unexpected thing later, which is where I legit cried during this film. But that is just versus.
Yep.
Did you?
Same.
I was like, how dare you? I didn't feel anything the first time this came up.
No, same.
I was a little bit prepared. Like, that's kind of love. Like, it's okay. I was like, all right, that's all right. I'll give you that one movie. That's not bad. But I also want to note that, are you going to cover the part where he hugs himself? Because it's just important to me emotionally.
Please go do that. Do that.
Where you've already passed the part where she gives him permission to get his first job as the 5-year-old or 16-year-old, whatever, we can't decide. Because neither can the movie. It's not our fault. And he goes to hug her. And again, it's been established in the film that she doesn't like hugs. And he's like responsive to her boundaries. And so he realizes, stops himself. And then he hugs himself. And it's extremely cute. It is just extremely adorable. It's so cute.
Yeah. Also, I really quickly, I think maybe it's before or after that. I don't know. It's right around here. She gives him permission. And then she says, but there are ground rules, young man. She says, I drop you off. I pick you up. And you do not leave the school. You do not tell anybody that you're a snowman. And you do not tell them that you are the person the sheriff is looking for.
Yeah, that's almost verbatim, I think.
This often happens when recording, where I realize that I actively whimsy a lot of things.
Okay.
Like, I just make the choice when I'm reading something or watching something I didn't realize how much I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take this where it is and I'm not think about certain things. And then I am forced to sit and record on it and think a little deeper about things.
You're forced to reckon with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where we're gonna leave you, HBs. We will see you tomorrow for part 2. Heaving Bosoms is produced by us, Melody Carlisle and Sabrina Bradley. Editing is done by me, Melody Carlisle. Our theme music is by the incredible singer-songwriter Brittany Fonts, and our art is by the ultra-talented author Kate Pryor. If you like our show, remember to follow us on your favorite podcast app, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. That one small action is a huge way to help the show. If you want to get in touch with us for advertising inquiries or anything else, you can email us at heavingbosomspodcast@gmail.com. If you want more of us, visit patreon.com/heavingbosomspodcast. You can also find us on Instagram @heavingbosoms, on TikTok @heaving_bosoms, and in our Facebook group, the Heaving Bosoms Geriatric Friendship Cult. See you tomorrow.